Welcome to Modern Practice. I'm Dr. Tom Villanueva, practicing physician and associate vice president of clinical resources at Vizient. On this episode, we feature strategies we could use to deal with vaccine hesitancy among hospital staff. Joining me on that discussion is Dr. Michelle Andersack at the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Center and Dr. Tony Reed, Chief Medical Officer at Temple Health. Let's hear what they had to say.
I keep on hearing listening, active listening, being inclusive. But there are organizations out there that are giving incentives. Let's be honest with that. Pretty rich incentives between $500 and $600. Love to hear your comments about that.
And we've talked about that. And there was another question here about gamification. And I'll say it this way. I'm not that creative. So if we can gamify something, send it to me and I'll help deploy it. But don't expect me to come up with it. I sit on the same fence about incentives that I do about making it mandatory. People are going to do it with or without. And what incentive is going to motivate enough people to make a difference? Is it $500, $700, $1,000? You know, the incentive at my house is that my 12-year-old gets to go to Disney 2 days after his second shot. Works for an incentive. Wasn't planned that way. He's as afraid of the sharp end of needles as I am. And so I have not heard any negative about going and getting his vaccination. It's incentives work. Yeah. But what incentive do you put in place universally?
And I think the biggest incentive is going to be peer pressure, honestly. I really, really do, because my cousin got the vaccine so that he could join the rest of my family at the Yankees game. And that's the only reason, because he was not going to get it otherwise. And I think that conveying to other family members and friends why it's important for them to be around other people who are vaccinated, what it means to them for their health and well-being and the health and well-being of their family and communities is really going to make a huge difference in incentivizing people to get vaccinated. Because if your family is not allowing you to come to family gatherings because you're not vaccinated, that's a huge incentive.
And then there's the HR side of it. If put out an incentive now, is it retro to December? And if it's not, what have I done for the next time I have to do something like this? I'm going to wait it out, because the negotiation is that I make out better if I wait, right? That's what happens when you put an incentive in right now. And so there's risks to that from an employment perspective. There was another interesting question in here about vaccine choice, and particularly for Philadelphia, which was the part that caught my attention. And I will tell you, 3 months ago, we weren't really giving a choice. It was, here's the vaccine we have at this site today. Where we are right now, and in the populations who we're looking to catch right now, late middle group, kind of the late adopters, sort of that thing, the incentive in that is there is some choice of which vaccine you get. If you want to get it from Temple and you want Pfizer, you come to one of the health system fixed sites. If you want Moderna, you go out to one of our community sites. If you want J&J, you call and you tell us that, and we have J&J days. The vaccine is that widely available in Philadelphia at this point that you could get it in your choice. And so if I'm going to use an incentive, that's what it is. And there are some populations that have that decision and that choice and that one. There are some that only want one shot. There are some that still recognize that, while not directly, indirectly, several lineages ago, J&J does have a tie back to stem cells. If that's important to somebody, I'm not going to argue with them over it. I say, okay, I've got other choices.
I hadn't really thought of it that way. That's actually a huge positive, but thank you for bringing that in light. Michelle, do you have any comments in reference to gamification, just to make sure we're being level?
No, but I did want to make a reply to Tony's comment, because I think what a lot of us miss in this is that we have three incredible choices. You know, a year later, we have three great choices. They're all equally effective and safe. And that is such an amazing thing. And I think that often we get mired in all of the media world and forget that we are in a good place, because our friends in Brazil, our friends in India, our friends in most of the rest of the world do not have these choices.
Right.
And we are privileged and we are lucky that we have three choices.
Elephant in the room is mandating these vaccinations within our healthcare professionals. We do have organizations that are mandating at this moment, and they've gotten a lot of media coverage from it. What's your perspective? I believe Tony already gave a hint on what his perspective is, but what's your perspective on mandates?
I'm not opposed to the concept of a mandate, but I'm a policy guy and I am very logarithmic and by the book, much to my wife's chagrin. And so tell me, we walk down the path, we get to a point where a nurse says, no, I'm not going to be vaccinated. We have unions. We're in the worst pandemic of any of our lives. There is the greatest nursing shortage on the planet that's ever existed. And they have just been through heck over the last 16 months. So what am I going to do when they say no to me? I'm going to fire them. For the flu shot, my mandate is you must be vaccinated or you must wear a mask while you're in a clinical area.
Right, right.
I don't venture too far from my mask these days. Right. That's not really an incentive or a disincentive in the mandate. So what I have posed back to people is, tell me what a good repercussion of failing the mandate would be, and I'll tell you whether it will pass Joint Commission and CMS muster or not. Because remember, you put a policy in place,
right,
be able to follow it. Otherwise, our regulatory friends are going to ask questions. That said, we're now releasing masks all over the country. We're now bringing people back to work all over the country. The other potential downside of not being vaccinated is you may need to have a nasopharyngeal swab weekly. Some people find that as a positive because then they know. Other people realize that that kind of stings to do that. And some have gone to nasal swabs and other types of swabs, but they don't have that same sensitivity. And so we haven't made that switch yet. But that's what I worry about in healthcare as we go to that mandate. What do you do when the first person says no?
Yeah. Michelle, curious on your feedback.
Yeah. And the thing that always is sort of a barrier to me is that I think from everything that I've seen, COVID is going to follow the same path as the flu. We're going to have to get booster shots or annual shots. And so how do we enforce mandates if we implement mandates now for this initial phase? Is this something that is ongoing then for the foreseeable future when we have annual COVID shots? Are we doing the same thing for the flu as well? I definitely believe that sometimes individuals need a push to do what's right for the better public health. All of us have to stop at stop signs and red lights. And if we don't, we're fined. And that's for the good of all of us, our public safety. And I sort of see this in the same vein. And at the same time, I know that there are lots of caveats that make this very different. And for me, as someone who focuses on community engagement, I really think that mandates will only go so far. And really what we need to do is make sure people have the information that they need and are listened to and their concerns are addressed so that they can make an informed decision about what to do. And investing time and energy in doing that, I think, is really going to be the game changer.
Thank you. Before we close, any further comments from the panel?
I do want to go back. Amanda asked a question that I'm not sure we answered. Are you noticing trends among hesitancy within certain roles or certain departments? The answer is yes. The units who were most directly caring for COVID patients, if we were to slice the data that way, I have way higher percentages there, almost to the point that there was a lack of understanding in those who were working in those units as to why anybody could even question and be cautious about getting the vaccine when their time came. I mean, I had to sit down and talk to them about why others are resistant to being vaccinated or why they're hesitant or why they have issues or concerns, because they couldn't conceive that somebody would not want to be that. And that cut across job disciplines, it cut across races and ethnicity, it cut across gender. I mean, it was almost universal. That group were more willing and more in for the vaccine.
Thank you. So with that, I am immensely grateful for a fantastic discussion. It felt like 3 minutes to me. I can't believe this was 45 minutes. It honestly felt like 3 minutes. I can easily go for another 45. To Dr. Reed and Dr. Andrzak, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed this discussion and come away with some ideas for approaching vaccine hesitancy for your own facility. Please join us for other Modern Practice podcasts on the Vizient Medical Leadership Channel. Subscribe today, like us, or send us your comments. Also, please listen and subscribe to SG2 Perspectives, the podcast on the latest in healthcare strategies. I'm Dr. Tom Villanueva. Thanks for listening.